It seems every small Midwest town has its summertime celebration, a parade with an antique tractor, a fleet of fez-wearing Shriners, or even a polka band. In Black River Falls, Wisconsin, it's the Karner Blue Butterfly Festival. Butterfly-shaped balloons bob from the street lamps. Windows on Main Street are stenciled with blue-painted butterfly silhouettes. Bonnie Schold, who's here to display her artwork, is happy to live in an area that's home to the world's largest population of a rare silvery blue butterfly with a one-inch wingspan.
They are in the area. They're not something that's 1,000 miles away. That's what this is all about.
In the shade of a green canvas tent, Mike Engel, a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service biologist, hands out literature about the Karner Blue. His job is to help landowners restore the butterfly's habitat. The Karner Blue depends on a wildflower called lupin. It's the sole known food for the Karner's caterpillar stage. It flourishes in prairies, oak savannas, and open areas known as barrens. Before European settlement, wildfire and other natural disturbances kept these areas clear of trees. Now many of them have become overgrown with forest. However, they can be restored by selective logging and planting lupin and other wildflowers. Engel says it's an easy sell.
People are excited about doing it. I think one part, because prairies become a lot more popular. So we have that going for us. It's a very attractive blue butterfly that feeds on a lot of attracted wildflowers. So we're encouraging things that are aesthetically pleasing.
The butterfly wasn't always this popular. In 1992, when the Karner Blue was listed as endangered, some in Wisconsin worried the Endangered Species Act would shut down logging and other activities in the butterfly's range. But in 1999, 26 parties, including timber companies, county-owned forests, power companies, and the Wisconsin State Departments of Natural Resources and Transportation, signed a voluntary but binding agreement. It allows them to continue business as usual with modifications to avoid harming the butterfly. In return, the parties received immunity from prosecution if their actions occasionally harm the butterflies or their habitat. Utilities have agreed to limit their mowing and spraying along power lines to times that are safer for the butterflies. Timber companies and county forests have altered their logging practices to preserve patches of lupin. Dan Diemer, a ranger at Wisconsin's Black River State Forest, says loggers were concerned about the restrictions at first, but they haven't proved to be onerous.
Now, I don't think it's kind of just not a non-issue. It's very little work with the loggers that they have to mitigate anything on their part. You know, we just have to administer timber sales a little bit differently, and they have to log at different times of the year, but it's not that bad.
Allowing logging to continue in the Karner's range benefits not just timber companies, but the butterfly itself. That's because lupin needs full sunlight. If the Karner's habitat is left alone, it will grow back to deep forest, and both the lupin and the butterfly will die out. David Lentz of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources oversees the Karner Blue Butterfly Habitat Conservation Plan. He says it's a national model for a cooperative approach to protecting endangered species.
We believe there's a lot of people out there all over the country who have been watching this, hoping that we'll be able to pull this off and we'll be able to share the lessons we've learned with them so that they can try to do conservation for endangered species without pure regulation.
Statistics on the program's overall effect on butterfly populations will not be available till the year 2006, but Lent says early evidence indicates it's working well. Since the agreement was signed in 1999, the butterflies have been discovered in 4 to 8 new sites in Wisconsin each year. The state has some 290 sites where the butterflies have been found. Efforts are also underway to save the Karner in other states around the Great Lakes, but since those states have mostly tiny, isolated populations, Wisconsin is seen as the key to the species' survival. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Mary Lozier.